Let's call the meeting to order. Let the record show that all members of the Finance Committee are in attendance. We get approval for the minutes.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Dot, second by Kelly. Any approvals or questions on the minutes? All those in favor of approving the minutes as published, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Minutes are approved. Public comment. How many people do we have for public comment?
Asked outside in the hall, they may not have heard you.
Got any public comments out in the hallway?
Public comments?
None, no.
Okay. Mr. Jelly, you have 3 minutes, sir.
Okay, very good. Some information you might want to pass out. My name's Ron Jetta, and I'd like to look at the facts. According to the Scheffelin Company audit of 2012, Republican Kurt Prenzler's first year, 2011, the investment portfolio had a net appreciation or gain of $1,623,975. The last year of Democrat Frank Miles' term, 2010, the investment portfolio had a net loss of $2,102,664. I don't recall any outcry by the auditor at that time. What does the auditor keep talking about losses when the 2012 audit showed us gains of $1,623,975? Recently, it was reported in the paper that the Madison County auditor, Rick Basson, stated he offered advice on the investments. His bio on the Madison County website site shows that nothing in the way of financial or investment credentials like CPA, CFP, registered investment advisor, degrees in finance or degrees in accounting. The bio states his degrees in social work. The auditor needs to be careful about offering investment advice since he may run afoul of FINRA by the SEC. Now I want to discuss another topic. Madison County continues levying excess taxation in some of the special revenue funds. There are millions of dollars of excess funds in some of the special revenue accounts. The Metro East Park District and Recreation District Fund on page 85 and 88 from the 2012 audit, which I passed out and highlighted, shows the ending fund balance of $3,427,000 or $409. This is a 448% excess reserve ratio of expenses. Why is a special revenue fund accumulating excess fund balances? Is that warranted? Is it justifiable? Shouldn't the taxpayers expect the tax revenue coming into this special revenue fund to just come in and go back out and be spent? At a very minimum, there may be a small fund balance maintained, but not $3,427,409. Kelly Tracy, finance committee member and chairs this Parks and Recreation Committee. The auditor should be asking Ms. Tracy why she is accumulating these huge excess balances and not getting the money back out to the cities and the park districts. I am sure every county board member knows of deserving projects in their districts. Meanwhile, $3,427,409 as of the end of fiscal year 2012 audit sits in an account. This is terrible public policy and poor financial management by the chair of the committee, Ms. Tracy, and it doesn't serve the taxpayer's best interest. Before you all go about casting stones at others, you need to look a little closer at some of your own and what they're doing. Time doesn't allow me today to review the other funds, but I plan to do so in the future. Thank you very much.
Now, before we move on, is there any other public comments? Is Mr. Prenzler here?
Yeah, he's out there.
Kurt, we would like for you to discuss your investment policies. The committee is concerned with the lack of revenue that we have out of your investments, and we're considering making some kind of moves, and we'd like for you to speak at this time on your investment policy.
Okay.
My chief deputy treasurer, Doug Hume, would like to...
How you guys doing?
Okay, Doug.
Yes.
Short today. I want to start by saying that county auditors' attacks on me over the past 3 months have been purely political and not based in fact. I'm not a career politician. I'm a CPA. My entire career has been in business. I chose to run for office because I wanted to make a difference. I saw unethical behavior, and I knew I could improve things. After winning the election in 2010, my focus was on two things. Number one, reduce spending in the Treasurer's office, and number two, reform the tax bill process. After taking office, I was shocked to learn that $42 million of the county's $105 million investment portfolio had been invested outside of policy, and $2.8 million had already been lost before I was sworn in. I later learned that within the 6 consecutive days following my election, the Treasurer's office purchased $36 million of long-term bonds for one Little Rock, Arkansas bond salesman. During the previous 9 years, this one salesman sold more than $520 million of bonds to the Treasurer's office. There was no competitive bidding, and he earned excessive commissions. What did the auditor do? Nothing. This is political. The fact is that there were a lot of shenanigans going on in the Treasurer's office. Illegal tax sales. An exclusive relationship with one Little Rock.
Now, you're into the bathon thing now. There was no illegal things going on when the Miles was there. And so I'd like for you to keep it to your investment policies, if you will, please.
It's
I don't want any political. Well, you've got all the time you want.
Okay,
you're a county official, and we're talking about investment strategy. Okay?
Let me repeat. This is political. The fact is there were a lot of shenanigans going on in the Treasurer's office. Illegal tax sales. An exclusive relationship with one Little Rock, Arkansas bond salesman involving $500 million. And it was the same cast of characters. Bathon's investment officer...
Kurt, please. Now, Bathon's in jail. We're not talking about Bathon. We asked you here to discuss your investment policies. And this is what we would like you to...
But Jack, this is all relevant. With all due respect.
Please.
And this is
this can be turned into an ambush. This is my committee.
Well, and this can be turned into a political ambush.
No, it is not.
Yes, it has.
No, not, you don't have the floor. We've asked Kurt here to explain his investment policies, and we're going to stay with that.
Okay. I'm going to stay with my talk, Jack. Thank you. It was the same cast of characters. It's obviously hard for you to hear this. Bathon's investment officer was also his campaign treasurer and his auctioneer for the illegal tax sales. A good CPA auditor would see a pattern here. Again, what did our county treasurer do? Nothing. What did our county auditor do? Nothing. How have I invested the county's money? Number one, legally. In accordance with Illinois law that lays out these priorities. First, safety. Next, liquidity. Last, yield. Also, I've invested the county's money just like 99% of other county treasurers in Illinois. Nothing riskier than a 2-year CD or bond. In summary, all county treasurers invest public funds the same way, short term. Short term interest rates are at historic lows. Would all county treasurers like to earn more interest? Of course they would. that the law requires that they invest safely, which means short term. In 2010, the county had $105 million. Today, the county has $135 million. Perhaps our auditor thinks the county's money should be placed in long-term investments. But I say, if the county doesn't need the money, it should be returned to the taxpayers. Just like the Wood River Hospital money is now being returned. It's not the county's job to build a war chest. If the county gave $15 million back to the 268,000 people that live in Madison County, that would be about $57 for every man, woman, and child. One person might use this money to pay a bill. Another person would buy something. This would help our local economy. Let me leave you with this question. Do you want me to invest the county's money in accordance with Illinois law, or should we work together on a plan to return the county's excess funds to the taxpayer? Thank you.
Well, we disagree on the, this committee disagrees on the amount of revenue that we are receiving from our investments here. And I think I can speak for the whole committee. And we are going to ask our chairman, with our approval, to appoint an oversight committee for all county investments. And we will hope that you will work with them and cooperate with them and hope that we can some of these we're just not receiving enough revenue from our investments. Now, that's our opinion. It's not your opinion, but we have a difference of opinion here. We would like to have the chairman appoint, with our approval, a committee, an oversight committee, to assist with our investments.
Mr. Chairman, if I may.
Okay. Bill, you had your hand up first. Yes, sir.
Before you go to that oversight committee, I think I would like to table this thing. I'd like to make a motion to table this at least for 1 month so that I can digest what first of all, Mark Benida put in his report, which I just got in my box yesterday. What Mr. Prenzler has given us today, and also what Mr. Jetta has given us on this Metro East Park and Recreation. I had no idea we had that kind of money in that in that fund. So, I mean, I realize it's accumulated, but anyway, I would like to make a motion that we table this for at least 1 month to digest all this information. And I'd also like to know, I mean, I was surprised really that Mark had this kind of money invested.
Yeah.
I was unaware of it. And does he normally give a report like this every year, or is that normal, or
he is actually asking for some oversight also.
Mm-hmm.
Joe, you can address this.
The money the circuit clerk has to invest are things like bonds. People have to put bonds up in court and things like that. It's just one of his tasks that he's responsible for, and it's also his authority to invest. So he has an investment policy just like the treasurer. He invests it. He makes sure they're safe and secure. And what he's saying is that he welcomes this oversight committee, you know, reviewing his process too.
Excuse me, there's a motion on that.
Okay, there's a motion.
Well, I'd like to speak before the motion comes.
Okay. Very good.
Is Mr. Jett out there? Because I don't want to say anything on his back. I wouldn't say to his face.
No, I don't see him.
Okay. Well, let me proceed. I've had expertise as a director of an agency in the private sector. And we've also won money awards in the governmental sector. I will take my record in the private sector and the governmental sector and match it against Mr. Prenzler or Mr. Jetta. And that's all I'm going to say about that. There's two issues at hand, Mr. Chairman. One, in addition to the $1 million that we lost on this premature sale of the bonds, which weren't with the Little Rock, Arkansas firm, it's a nationwide firm, okay? Those are safe investments, AAA-rated bonds insured by the federal government. They're bonds that would have yielded 5 to 10% upon maturity. But since the treasurer sold the bonds, we lost over $700,000 in interest, not to mention the $365,000 we lost immediately on the sale of the bonds. Now, this isn't a political process. This is a question of competency here.
How much interest did that investment earn, though?
What do you mean, how much? You mean at the time of the sale?
I understand that after the sale, with all the interest that we accumulated, even though you're including what we would have gotten if we'd held it to maturity, that we broke about even.
You didn't break about even. You lost 700,000 in interest.
Okay, guys, this is not a debate.
Let me finish.
Victory report. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, I'm getting Kurt's investment income statements across my desk. Now, I'm the auditor. I'm watching this. Okay, just to give you an idea of what's going on, the income has dropped from $3,671,861 in 2009 before Mr. Prenzler took office. Okay, it's went from that to $573,817 in 2012 to $273,368 in 2013. We don't make unsafe investments. We make safe and secure investments. I agree with Kurt that security is a concern, but not this kind of a security. This county today is almost debt-free and in great fiscal position. And there's other investments he could diversify, get out into, with roughly $130 million portfolio that he chooses not to do. Wants to be a money manager and go into short-term bonds that pay nothing. And one of those bonds paid 0.006. And that's simply unacceptable. It isn't political. It's about protecting taxpayers' dollars and maximizing our income return on investments. That's why I'm recommending that you have an oversight committee, bipartisan oversight committee, of professionals with experience in this field that can overlook this situation. That's okay, right.
Now, Bill, I'm sorry. We got out of order here.
That's fine.
Not to let that happen.
That's
fine. I want Rick's report. So, okay, you've made a motion. Are you still making your motion to the table this for 1 month?
Yeah.
Our next finance meeting, right?
Right.
Second.
Jeremy.
Very good.
Sorry about that. Okay.
Progress.
Yeah. We need a voice vote, I guess, on this.
Kelly? No. Yes.
Yeah. No.
Yes.
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 Okay. We will table this for 1 month.
Jack, can I ask a question of the auditor?
Yes, you can.
Okay. So we had $500 million in bond purchases from the same broker, whether it's Nationwide or the same broker, $500 million in purchases over a 10-year period. So did you ever audit those purchases? That seems to me to be an auditor's dream or an auditor's nightmare.
Well, let me tell you, Todd, what happened. Mr. Prenzler came to me in January of 2011.
I'm talking about the 10 years that they purchased $500 million over 10 years.
You know what we made in 10 years on those investments?
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter?
No, it doesn't matter. Because an auditor, I would think when you see millions of dollars going to the same place over and over again for an investment you could have bought in Evansville or St. Louis, that would at least deserve the auditor's attention. Now, when they purchased $36 million after Kurt was elected and before he took office, that would be a huge red flag. What's the big hurry?
Well, let me say this. He did send a red flag up the poll. As a matter of fact, I got the newspaper article here where I admonished Foley and Miles for purchasing. The timing on it was bad. Granted. Matter of fact, if recollection serves me, you thought it was a great idea when he sold the bonds. And we got
he sold them in June. He sold them in June, right?
I don't know.
When they were break-even, Rick. They were break-even. They did earn interest while they were being held. And the way that you calculate the return, nobody does that.
Okay, guys.
Nobody does that.
This is turning into a debate.
I have
really
a question, though. What's the term of the long-term bonds that you were discussing?
They went, the long-term bonds that he bought, I think, were out 10 to 15 years.
I guess my question is, how do we have so many millions of dollars that we can invest in 10 years? I'm just worried about the one. How do we have that much?
We're not alone in that, Nick. And when those bonds were called? In 15 months, every one of them.
Would you like to answer?
Well, I just want to point out that, you know, everybody says these 15-year bonds, they ended up being 2-year bonds, so they were short-term investments. They were step-up bonds. I don't want to get into the weeds, but by design, they were designed to be called within the investment policy.
What happens if they don't come
back?
10%.
They step up to 10%, and, you know, okay, they always get called. They always have gotten called. It's by design. The federal government's paying a higher interest rate in return for flexibility on when they want to call them and when they're not, and that's what the previous investment professionals recommended at the time. Shouldn't have gone outside the 10-year period even with that, but that's the point of the matter was it was never going to last.
Mr. Chairman, if I can say this very briefly.
Okay.
Two courses of action after you purchase those bonds. You make money or you make a lot of money. Okay?
That's not true. Man.
It is true. No, because if it goes to maturity, Tom, you make a lot of money.
You have to be prepared to hold them for 12 or 15
Okay,
years.
And you've got enough liquidity to do that.
So why would you...
Why would I do it? I want to make money. That's why I would do it.
By your logic, Rick, the way you're saying what Kurt didn't earn in interest, then you've lost, if by your logic, all the money that you took off the table by calling them in early.
Well, my question...
I didn't call them in early. Rick, he called them in.
Did you audit them or not? And then apparently, did you audit that? I mean, was there a formal audit?
Let me say this, Tom. We're making roughly over $3 million a year on these investments, okay?
Right.
We're making anywhere from what, three to...
Rick, you're wagging your finger saying Kurt's not doing his job.
Because Kurt's losing
you
money.
You didn't audit $500 million, and there's $500 million purchases. There's also $500 million in
sales. Tom, I will say this. You thought it was a great idea at the time you sold the bonds. I got it in print. I'll show it to you if you want to see it.
You know what? At the time, I believe they were out of the investment
policy. At the time.
That's what I was told. And, you know, and Rick, they were at break even. They lost $360 million.
No, you lost more than that, Tom.
I didn't lose anything.
You're discounting the interest. So
that you would have gotten had it stayed.
Okay, you left alone.
My
only point is not lost.
Okay, end of discussion. Okay, we've had a motion to table this. We've had a motion to table this. It's passed. It's tabled for 1 month. Thank you.
I got a question.
Oh,
ask a question.
Okay.
I'm just sitting back listening. I'm trying to be bipartisan here. I'm not an investor. I'm not going to get into the dollars and all that. But I did hear somebody mention that we lost $2.1 million under Frank Miles. If that's true, why did we ask for the audit back then? Just a question.
Good question, Mike, but that was a Gadsby 31 loss, which is a paper loss.
Okay, it's a paper loss, but it's a loss.
No.
In my mind, if it's a paper loss, it's a paper loss. We should have had the oversight committee.
Joe.
If I'm doing an oversight committee, first of all, I would hope it would be elected people because I will never vote for unelected people to oversight a gentleman that was voted in by the people of Madison County because they will not be held responsible to anybody. And my next question is, then, if we do that, if we look at the county board members, who on the county board could oversight this and really understand what's going on? Because please don't ask me to do it. I can't do it. And I certainly hope that if you do this, you make sure it's elected officials, not unelected people that are not accountable to anybody. And then my question is, Kurt keeps bringing up the three things for investing: safety, liquidity, and yield. And all I've heard is, well, we're going to skip over the safety part because we don't care about that. We're going to talk about, let's go all the way down to the bottom, which is yield, what he's bringing in.
Can I respond to that?
And my question is that if safety is first and you're following a guideline that was set by a predecessor, am I correct?
The state law says safety, liquidity, and yield. And actually, Jim Foley's investment policy said that. Jim Foley's investment policy said that it called out specific the government agency step-up bonds, correct, Jennifer? And it said maximum maturity 10 years. And I will say, in fairness to Fred Baffin, that the first time that investment policy was broken was as Fred was going out the door in December of 2009. I would venture to say Fred may not have even known about it. The investment policy was broken more and more and more throughout 2010, meaning that the Treasurer's Office was buying bonds of a 12 to 15 year maturity. Okay, more and more and more. And then I was elected in the next 6 days, $36 million. Okay, so when I walked in the door, $42 million in maturities beyond 10 years, 12 to 15 years, investment policy broken. Now, in my background, I actually called it a holy ring of fire. An investment policy is a holy ring of fire from people in the investment business. You talk to people at State Farm Insurance, at Miller's First Insurance Company, Madison Mutual, any bank, you just don't violate the investment policy. I was shocked. Now, that's what I walked into. It was a mess. I fixed the mess. I'm investing short-term in accordance with state law as I see it and as all other county treasurers see it. Now, I invite the committee members to call other county treasurers in this PAC material right here. We've got some other counties mentioned. I don't want to take a lot of time. That's all I have to say. Thank you.
And then my last question is, did you do anything immoral or unethical when you followed the guidelines and moved the bonds out of...
I'm not having a trial here.
This is ridiculous.
Let me ask the question, then I'll continue with where I'm going with this. Because did you do anything immoral or unethical? And it just surprises me that now
we're turning this into political.
However, many immoral and unethical things have happened on this in this county.
That's enough.
And have you compared
this
my
committee right now,
to other counties throughout the state?
Jill had a comment.
If we can move past our history and try and move forward, I think it would benefit all of us.
We're going to do that right now. Joe, you got one question answer, and then that's it. We're going into the committee meeting.
We're talking about 2011, 12, 13 investment performance. The version about talking about the past, you know, that's not getting us anywhere. We want to see where we're at today, what our practices have been the last 2 years in the treasurer's office, how we can improve those, how we can do things for the best interests of the taxpayers. That's what we're trying to achieve here.
We've seen a lot of losses with no opportunity for gains and lawsuits among various agencies.
Yeah, but guys, listen.
And if we're going to put oversight here, we need to look at all of them that are losing money.
Order, guys. Listen, Joe, you have the floor. You want to finish, then we're moving into the rest of the meeting.
We're ready to move on.
I have a quick question. I would like to make a request looking forward that, one, we review the investment policy. I mean, that's part of our responsibility. I think it also makes sense if we've got $20 million, $40 million, or something in an investment that there's more than one person, and I think an advisory committee is a good idea, but it would be made up by professionals, not county officials.
Bill has made a motion to table it.
I just have a quick question that has something to do outside of that. I've noticed some phones and things out, and it is not, isn't it, illegal to be recording this unless it's on this recorder?
I'm not sure.
I believe that's a violation of Open Meetings Act. I just wouldn't want to say, I know you're the new guy, so I don't want to...
Does the press record all the time?
No, they don't record.
Fred Lester does. Sure.
You can write it down. It needs to be stated beforehand, so I'm just letting you know.
He's that guy that shows up at every board meeting.
Okay.
You have to let people know. That's what I'm saying.
Jack, thank you.
Bill claims at every board meeting. He records it.
Yeah. Bill, purchases and bills.
Okay, we have several for your consideration. The first one is with administrative services. It's the annual maintenance renewal for the mail processing system. This is the machine that puts the postage on our mail, and it gets sent to a clearinghouse. Barry, you want to expand on this a little bit, exactly how we do this and how we save money?
Well, we've had this machine for quite a while, and each year they have a maintenance agreement that we have to pay. I actually looked into what it would be if we would upgrade the system, and it would be approximately, you're going to pay about $4,000 on a brand new system of maintenance. So basically in 2 years' time, it's going to be over $5,000. So really, it's in line with what a new system would be, the maintenance of. So as of right now, we're just staying with our old machine.
Okay. Is there any questions? No questions?
Next, we have a new copy machine for the coroner's office. Any questions? Mr. Nunn is here. The next purchase is a professional services agreement with SwimPAC. We retain the services of SwimPAC to develop a Tiger Grant application. That's a federal transportation grant. And the application is to do the design work for the rehabilitation of the, I get the two bridges, the railroad bridge at, down in Venice. It's Merchants, I believe. I may have that wrong. This is a pass-through agreement. Terminal Railroad Association is actually reimbursing us for the cost of this, and they're the ones that's providing the cost share and all of that. So that's what this is all about.
So we get reimbursed for this.
It's a 110-year-old railroad bridge that's critical to commerce in the St. Louis metro area. Okay. So it's a priority for the region to do this project. Next, we have with the county clerk's office a purchase to print voter ID cards or buy the, I guess, the stock and everything for it.
Chairman, it's every 2 years the county clerk is required by law to send out a voter registration card to every registered voter on the file in the process to beginning the purge after the November election. So that's what this purchase is about. It's 200,000 voter registration cards.
Very good. Any questions of Debbie?
Well, we should ask her something.
I think
we spent a whole lot of money.
Came all the way down here dressed up.
We did.
You've got to watch that budget a little bit.
I'm trying.
Okay. Next, we have a pickup truck replacement for facilities management. This was in the budget for this year. Any questions? Kurt can answer them.
Is Kurt here?
Right here.
Oh,
in the window.
There you are.
In the window.
So who's getting a new truck?
The guys. It's a replacement half a ton pickup truck.
And what about the old one?
The old one, the repairs on it exceeded the blue book value. The repairs are estimated at $2,500.
What year is it?
2002.
Mileage.
Is that being traded in, Kurt, or is it?
No, it's going to be auctioned.
Auctioned off. Okay. Any other questions, Kurt?
With the IT department, we have our quarterly maintenance for our large printer. Timothy, anything to add?
No.
Okay.
The reason it's so expensive is because of the balance. We printed the Russell Bridge due to the balance for the last auction.
More money for you.
And also with the IT department, we have with Worldwide an upgrade to a Cisco. I don't know if that hardware.
Yeah, actually, no. It's the software operating software. System of it for added functionality. We need to do an upgrade on
the core. Any questions? Moving on.
With the sheriff's department and the jail, we have purchased with Foam Masters to install some antenna equipment in the county jail. I believe this relates to the fact that Charter Cable has gone digital and they're requiring boxes now, and the county receives free cable service from Charter because of our franchise agreement, but boxes and things like that are extra. Is that correct, Sheriff?
Correct.
Is that what that is?
Was it the
antenna?
Oh, yeah, that was a bit we switched from cable to regular antenna.
Right.
No boxes, just no boxes.
So what they're doing, instead of having cable, they're just going to have the free over-the-air digital TV.
So it's true, there's a cost for the boxes on monthly maintenance.
Right.
Okay.
And what channels do you get over there?
The basic.
The what?
Just the basic 2, 4, 5, whatever comes over free.
Okay. And does every cell have a TV?
Well, no, the day room does, not every cell.
Okay.
Just the block, one in the block.
Okay. I know people always say to me, I don't think those people ought to even have TV over there.
Well, let me respond to that, Bill.
Very good.
Two things. Number one, you got to give those people something to do. They're not occupying their time peacefully. They're going to occupy their time not peacefully. So television is one thing. The TVs and this purchase for the antenna is paid for by the prisoners themselves. This isn't taxpayers' money. It comes out of the prisoners' commissary fund.
Okay.
Good. Thanks for that information. And this is a television. It's in a central room where they can go there and watch television if they earn the privileges, right? Okay.
Very good.
Thank you.
That'll give me a little ammunition.
Try watching 2, 4, 5, 7, and 9.
Next, we have a professional services agreement with PGVA planners with the Planning Development Department. This is for part of our comprehensive plan update procedure, correct, Matt?
Yes.
Okay. Is there any questions of Matt?
Any questions of Matt? Moving on.
Also, with the Planning Development Department, we have two more purchases. One is for a new copy machine. The other one is to replace 7 computers.
Any questions? Matt came all the way down here. We ought to at least ask him a question.
Federation.
And the next one with Planning Development is a contribution to the Heartland Conservancy related to the Cahokia Mounds Cultural Initiative. Matt, would you mind explaining this?
Heartland Conservancy has done a feasibility study in order to look at the feasibility of turning Cahokia Mounds into a national park. This has been a multi-year effort. Right now, they're trying to collect money in order to continue that effort and hopefully see it through. They have requested from Madison County $5,000 this year and next year in order to move forward. They're looking to collect a total of $300,000. Other counties like Monroe and St. Clair County have also been involved. And the request has been made from Dave Eustis, the executive director for Heartland.
Okay. Any questions?
With the county recorder's office, we have a purchase of some equipment. Amy, would you mind explaining?
Certainly. We have microfilms. Many of our records are on microfilm in our office. Right now we have 4 microfilm machines. This is a replacement of those machines. The machines we currently have are approximately 11 years old, and they're breaking down fairly often, and they are starting to wear our films in a way that is compromising the integrity of the film. So it's time to get new equipment. We've looked at other devices. We've had some of them tested out in our vault, and overwhelmingly staff as well as the people that use this equipment most often, which is our title searchers, have decided that we should go with the Milta, which is what we have. So this is an upgrade for that. And also the clerk's office, they gave us some input on this. They have one that they use. They love it. So this is a request to purchase those. In addition, there's basically one person, one company that sells those in this area. We were able to get a service agreement for free for the first year because they are new equipment. And also, they are going to upgrade the devices that we use free of charge that take the JAMX cards, which are the cards that we use so we can count copies that are made in our office.
Any questions? Thank you.
And then lastly, with the Veterans Assistance Department, we have a new piece of equipment. Looks like it's a scanner. Is that correct, Brad? A scanner?
Yes, there's actually multiple scanners. They're individual desktop scanners. It's going to allow us to move more toward the VA's goal of electronic claims processing.
Did you skip over one there with the sheriff?
I did. We have a renewal for the Dispatch Council annual maintenance renewal with Motorola, with the sheriff. Sorry about that.
Any questions? Not, we'll entertain a motion.
So moved.
Second.
Got a motion and a second. Any further discussion? None. Kelly?
Aye.
Ann?
Aye.
Doc?
Aye.
Bill?
Yes.
Yes.
Amy.
Aye.
And resolutions?
Resolutions. The first one is our awarding bids for weatherization vendors. We do this every couple months, and this is the next batch. We've had this before. Mm-hmm. Ask. If there's any questions, we can answer them.
Yeah, actually, this is the annual one, Joe.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Before, that was the HVAC stuff. This is all the materials for the weatherization program beginning July 1st.
So we set the pricing for the year, and that's what this is. I'm sorry for
that. So we bid it out, and this is the places that had the full bids.
Okay. Any questions with Mr. Hunter? Not moving on.
The next three are capital projects for this building and the courthouse. This is the replacement of the roof for this building, the cleaning of this building, and the cleaning and tuck pointing for the outside of the courthouse. We talked about these capital projects last year and gone out for bid, and we're ready to move forward with them this year. If there's any questions, Kirk's here. Answer any.
Any questions, Kirk?
How long ago was it that we did the administration building here?
On the roof or the clean?
The tuck pointing ceiling. Wasn't that just a couple of years ago?
No, it's been
time flies that. When I'm having this much fun.
Yeah, that's when I first came on the board.
I think I was here on the board when we did that.
Yeah, that was about our first year, Bill.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll be right back there.
All right.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Is it possible that we could, rather than taking that money out of capital projects, that we could take that some of that money out of the legal document storage fund or the legal library fund? There's millions of dollars. I believe there's over $3 million and maybe even more in those funds combined. And it seems to me that tuck pointing or roofs and things like that, HVAC, at least whatever percentage of the legal library or legal document storage, that a percentage of that could be deducted from those funds, I think, legally. And I mean, I don't see
it would be. I don't know if that can be done, but it would be a very small amount because those two funds, their operations are just a tiny piece of the pie of the operations over in the county courthouse.
There's $3 million. There's $3 million there, and it seems to be. And I read the definition of the legal law library and the latitude for expenditures within that, and it seems like there's a lot of latitude, and there's, like I said, there's $3 million right there in those two funds.
We couldn't sweep that money into a capital project like this. That wouldn't be legal.
Well, with all due respect, shouldn't it be explored? I mean, isn't that a reasonable... Because we have the jail project, and if we can save $3 million here and $1 million there...
We can get you another answer. You asked these questions last year during the jail process, and we answered them.
No, not really.
You can't take money from special revenue funds that statutorily can only be used for that purpose and use it for something else. And that's really what you're suggesting doing. Can we start charging rent or something like that and collect some money and then take that rent money and put it into something like that? Yeah, but, then you have to do it for all the different departments and... it's not going to help you that much, I guess is what I'm saying.
Okay, where are we here? Is that's the only resolution you have, Joe?
Well, I have one more. Sheriff's Department has their budgetary purchase of new replacement vehicles. There's 10 of them. Actually, we've already approved this, and this correction, is that what we're doing here?
It's
the equipment. It's a correction on the equipment. Thank you.
What kind of equipment, or was it a correction that we did the wrong thing, or we talked about?
I think we didn't approve the total package. Is that Brad or?
They had to order some additional equipment.
Is that what happened?
That was left off the original order.
Right. So. The first purchase invoice came in for a small part of the equipment, and then the next invoices came in for the rest of it. So it's just ripping it all together as a total package.
Any questions? Not. Can we get a motion to approve the
purchasing
resolutions? Is that Bill?
Yes.
You second? Larry? Okay. Any further discussion? Kelly?
Aye.
Ann?
Aye.
Doc?
Aye.
Bill?
Aye.
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 Thank you.
That's all.
Motel tax.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, no motel tax reconciliation report for this month, so I move forward with refunds if I can.
Yes, please.
Okay, the first one is from the Animal Control Fund, payable in the amount of $65. To an individual, this refund is due for a registration fee that was charged, but not that they do not reside in Madison County. So the refund's for that. Next one, a check from the unrestricted special service area, payable in the amount of $31.17 to an individual. This is a refund due to an overpayment at closing. Next refund is a check in the amount of $150 from the unrestricted health department fund payable to an entity, and this is a refund for an overpayment for a food permit. The next refund is for $75 from the health department, payable to another entity, and this is a refund for a temporary food permit that wasn't necessary. Next refund, $75 from the health department fund, payable to an entity, a business, and this is for a refund for an overpayment for a food permit. Get a bunch of them. Next one is a special service area, a refund of $30.54, payable to an individual. This refund is due for an overpayment at closing. And lastly, this refund is for $30.54, payable to an individual. This refund is due for an overpayment at closing, and I move for your approval on the refunds.
So moved.
Second.
Motion to adopt, second by Bill. Any questions on the refunds? I don't think we should have any more refunds next month.
So well, it'll be out.
Kelly?
Aye.
Ann?
Aye.
Doc?
Aye.
Bill?
Yes.
Amy.
Yes.
Too many refunds.
Too many. Okay, moving forward, Mr. Chairman, we have some immediate emergency appropriations. The first one is subsequent to the budget. The county has received a grant in the amount of $30,000. This is for the purpose of conducting site visits of private providers to evaluate the provider's immunization policies and procedures as related to vaccines for children. I don't see this as a match grant. That's for $30,000. Second, an immediate emergency appropriation. The Madison County Coroner has received a grant from the Illinois Department of Public Health in relation to Vital Records Act and the Death Certificate Surcharge Fund. This is for $4,320 and will be utilized for the purchase of equipment. Next one, and lastly, subsequent to the adoption of the budget, it has been determined there are necessary expenditures that will be incurred for roof replacement at the administration building, tuck pointing and resealing of the administration building, and tuck pointing and resealing of the courthouse. Said expenditures were not provided for in the fiscal year 2014 budget, and I move for your approval on that one.
You got a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Second, Doc. Any further discussion? Hearing none. Kelly?
Aye.
Ann?
Aye.
Doc?
Aye.
Bill?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
And I have for your review, sir, the summary report of claims and transfers for April 2014. That's all I have, Mr. Chairman.
Do we need a motion on that? Yes, okay.
So moved.
Motion on the claims and transfers? Second by who? Jamie? Okay. Kelly?
Aye.
Ann? Doc?
Aye.
Bill?
Yes.
Yes.
Question, Kurt, when this is going on with the courthouse, when do you plan for the HVAC stuff?
That'll come probably later this year. We'll start setting up and coming up with solutions.
Very good. Okay. Safety and risk.
Good morning. I have two resolutions for your consideration this morning. These are resolutions approving settlement of a workers' compensation claim. The first one is for file number 12-025. This is a full and final settlement in the amount of $28,500, which represents approximately 20% permanent partial disability of the right leg. The second resolution is for file number 13-001. This is a full and final settlement of the claim in the amount of $29,417.83, and that represents 20% of the right arm. These have been approved by the Illinois Workers' Compensation Commission, along with all other parties.
Any questions? You're okay with these? Good question. Get a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Ann? No further discussion. Kelly?
Aye.
Ann?
Aye.
Aye.
Bill?
Yes.
Yes.
And Larry? That's all you have?
Yes.
Okay. Is there any new business come before the committee today?
I'm going to say we've got an executive committee meeting. The members of the executive committee right after this meeting. We're already 20 minutes late for us, so if those that are members wouldn't mind going up to the county boardroom, I'd appreciate it.
Okay.
Can I have some questions before we close?
Okay.
What is the formal process? I kind of went through some different county codes, and I would like to review the investment policy that we have, if there is one. And I'd like to know what the process is to obtain that. And I think we have a right to, based on what I read, we have a right to do so. And I know that that investment policy should have certain criteria in it, which I would like to review.
There's a copy that gets placed on file with the county board. That's the only thing that the treasurer has to do is file a copy with the board so we can get the current investment policy and provide it to you.
So, but what this... What I'm reading, and I may be wrong, it says it should be, you know, there should be a written policy and what it should address, and that it should be adopted by the treasurer, the elected treasurer, and presented to the chief executive officer and governing board for review. So I would think that we would review it and approve it or not approve it.
Not approval, no. No, all the treasurer has to do is file a copy, and it's his investment policy.
Okay.
And we do have it, and we had one for the previous treasurer to
drop that question.
What I'd like to follow up with is it possible to get or request a monthly report similar to what Mark Benita provided so we can review the current investments and then address if and how we go forward with an advisory board?
Yes, provide that.
Chairman, if I could, I want to ask a question along those lines for clarification's sake. That investment policy can be changed umpteenth number of times. Is that once a day or is it a number of times a day? In other words, if somebody goes out at noon, say the treasurer goes out at noon, or comes in the morning, changes it, he comes back in at noon, says he doesn't think that's a good idea, and he changes it again, is that permissible?
He's required to file a copy with the board. It becomes a public record. The board, by statute, can question him on it. We don't have to approve it. We don't approve it. But we can, at any time, call him, put him under oath, and question him on it. That's the way it works. So if he continues to change it over and over again, and something's fishy going on, then the board would call him and put him under oath and question him on his investments. That's how it would work.
Has he written one?
Yeah, he has one. We've had good investment policies, not to get into this thing, for the last three treasurers. So, I mean, they've all been sound and solid. The question is the one that went beyond the 10 years, and that's what, I don't know, it's a separate issue, but we won't get back into that.
Motion to adjourn.
You got a motion to adjourn?
Second.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?